as an increasing number of superannuation funds and universities decide to sell their shares in fossil fuel companies, Australia's biggest miner says it has future-proofed its business to ensure it can survive in a carbon-constrained world. BHP Billiton says its diversified portfolio of commodities means any coordinated global action by governments in the future to combat climate change will have a minimal impact on its bottom line. It also believes that carbon pricing is inevitable, even if it didn't support the previous Labor government's carbon tax. Mike Henry is BHP Billiton's Global President for Health, Safety and the Environment, and he's speaking here exclusively to our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
Mike Henry, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you.
What exactly is BHP Billiton's position on climate change?
I would encourage everyone to have a look at our position on the website. But in short, we start from an acceptance of the International Panel on Climate Change's assessment of the science. And that assessment is that warming of the climate is irrefutable, the human influence on that is clear, and that the physical impacts of climate change are unavoidable. Now, off the back of that acceptance, we believe that the world needs to pursue two objectives in tandem. First one being mitigate to the lower end of the IPCC scenarios in line with current global commitments. Second is to ensure continued supply of low-cost energy, which is required to maintain standards of living and to grow people out of poverty.
So if BHP believes that climate change is real, then do you see it then also as inevitable that there will be some form of global coordinated action to deal with it at some point?
We believe that there needs to be global action to address climate change, yes. And so we've called specifically for a mitigation of emissions to the lower end of the IPCC scenarios in line with the current global commitments that are out there. And for those global commitments to be affected, there's further action required.
The only way of doing that would be to put a price on carbon. I mean, you support that principle.
We do. We've been very clear on that for many years now. We've reiterated that recently. And over the past few weeks, we've signed up to a World Bank statement to that effect. We think that a price on carbon is going to be required to drive technological innovation and to drive emissions reductions.
So why didn't the company come out and back the previous government's carbon tax policy?
Look, I don't think the two positions are irreconcilable. We've been quite clear about our support and our belief that there's a need for a price on carbon, but it has to be an effective price. We didn't think that the previous carbon tax had been designed to be effective. It didn't sufficiently address competition concerns, and the price at which it was set was much higher than carbon pricing in other jurisdictions.
Last month, BHP Billiton released modelling of what it sees as the various scenarios of how the world might respond to climate change in the coming years. Under the scenario of say, a severely carbon-constrained world where there is a coordinated response, how big an impact would that have on BHP's bottom line? I mean, what did you find when you modelled that?
The modelling that we've done shows us quite clearly that BHP Billiton's portfolio is resilient under the full range of scenarios and under some even more extreme events. Now, that resilience is underpinned by the diverse nature of our portfolio. And what I mean by diverse is we don't just have coal in our portfolio, for example. We have iron ore, we have copper, we have oil and gas, and at some point in the future, we may have potash in the portfolio as well. And under the different scenarios, negative impacts in some commodities might be or could be expected to be offset by positive impacts in other commodities. So, for example, in a more carbon-constrained world, we would expect to see a positive impact on things like our high-quality iron ore, our high-quality metallurgical coal for steelmaking, on potash, and possibly on copper, which gets used in renewable energy as well, for example.
To manage that risk, are you actually actively trying to slim down your exposure to coal in your core business? I mean, you're putting a large chunk of your coal assets, for example, in this new demerged business. Is that driven partly by concerns about the impact of climate change?
No, not at all. The proposed demerger is driven by a whole different set of considerations, and it's really around the type of asset that they are relative to those assets that are staying in BHP Billiton's portfolio. Now, our belief, and this isn't just BHP Billiton's belief, most external, credible external forecasters believe that fossil fuels are going to remain a significant part of the global energy mix for decades to come. So we are focused very much on, in that world, how you go about mitigating climate change, and that plays through to our actions internally, as well as to the way that we engage externally, both in terms of advocacy, as well as in terms of things like investment in low emissions technologies.
But how are you actually future-proofing your business? If it turns out, contrary to what most forecasters say, that countries actually become less dependent on coal as an energy source, not more?
Let me start, Cheryl, by saying that we believe that countries will become less dependent on coal in percentage terms, but that in absolute terms, coal demand will continue to grow. Now, as I said earlier, we don't rely upon a single point forecast and a single belief about how the world will evolve. We do test our business against a full range of quite disparate scenarios to ensure that under each of those scenarios that we do have a resilient, strong business. We do include a view on future carbon pricing, and we've been doing that for 10 years now. So this isn't a new issue for us. We ensure that even in a world in which you have a carbon price, that our investments make sense.
Some investment funds seem to have decided it's not worth the risk to hold stakes in pure play coal companies, at least, and in particular, and coal-fired power generators, and they're selling out. It's a global divestment campaign which seems to be gaining traction. The Minerals Council of Australia has labelled it, you know, wrong-headed and largely symbolic. Do you agree with the Minerals Council on that?
I'm not going to get into whether we agree with the MCA on that or not. All I can say is we recognise that each fund, each investor needs to make their own decision on this, and they'll have to do their own analysis. They'll have to come to their own views about how the world is likely to play out. But we want to be clear that our portfolio ensures that we've got resilience under different scenarios, and we've tried to be quite open and public about why that is and how we test our portfolio in coming to the view that we are resilient under different potential future worlds.
Well, your core business at the moment remains pretty much centred around iron ore. BHP and Rio Tinto have been expanding, or indicating they will be expanding, their production of iron ore despite the falling iron ore price. Now, some are saying that this is perhaps part of a more controversial strategy to force out smaller iron ore producers who are higher cost than the bigger players. Is there any truth to that?
None. So there's nothing behind what we're doing that seeks to impact on production for anyone else. This is very simple. We and Australia have a competitive advantage both in terms of geology, so the nature of the iron ore resources that we have, and geography. We're located closer to key markets than many of our competitors are. It is absolutely in our interest and in the nation's interest to do exactly what we're doing, which is to be as globally competitive as we can be by lowering costs and by growing what is still very high margin volume for us and for the nation. So we see this as just common sense. And if we adopted an alternative approach of not lowering costs or not expanding volume, well, somebody else is going to come in, a different country, different company, and are going to seize the opportunity.
I'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
Mike Henry, BHP Billiton's Global President for Health, Safety and the Environment, speaking with Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.